Now we're dealing with Al-Imam Al-Zuhri. To clarify to you what Al-Bukhari did. The first level of those people who narrated or took from Al-Zuhri were the people who were companions of Zuhri, and they spent a lot of time with him, and they knew his hadith very well, and on top of that, their memorization was good, and their Islam was good. Their hifz and their itqan was impeccable. That's the first level. People like Al-Imam Malik and Sufyan ibn Uyayna. If you find these two narrating on Zuhri, they're from the people who narrated on Zuhri. They come in the first level. And like Ma'mar ibn Rashid from Yemen. That's the highest level of the people who took on Imam Zuhri. Al-Bukhari would only take from those people. Only. And we have Muslim taken from them too. And this is what it means by this hadith is muttafaq alayhi. It has this characteristic. The second group of the people who narrated on Al-Imam Al-Zuhri were the people who their hifz, memorization, and their itqan, their Islam, their knowledge was impeccable. But they didn't spend a lot of time with Imam Al-Zuhri. They didn't spend as much time as the first group did. But there's nothing wrong with their Islam or their memorization. They're strong narrators, but they just didn't spend as much time with Al-Zuhri. They're the second level. And Imam Muslim takes from this level. Who are those examples? Al-Awza'i. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd. They were from the people who took from Al-Zuhri. And they were on the second level. The third level were the people who knew Al-Zuhri very well. They're similar to the first level. Everything in the first level they have except their memorization wasn't that good. It was less. Their itqan wasn't that good. It was less. People like Ibn Ishaq, the one who wrote the history book. Muhammad Ibn Ishaq Ibn Yasar. People like Al-Hasan Ibn Sufyan. These people on a third level. You find At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and Abu Dawud narrating on those people. The fourth level of the people who took on Zuhri were the people who, unlike the second group, they didn't know Zuhri that well, they didn't spend a lot of time with them, and there was a problem with them in their memorization and in their itqan. In their memorization and their itqan. They're different from the third group. And Imam At-Tirmidhi takes from them. And the last group, the fifth level, are the people who narrated on Al-Imam Al-Zuhri, and they're from the Matruqin and the Majhuleen. The people are unknown. They only got one hadith. You only can find one hadith on them. They're not known. Or they're Matruq because they were liars. Ibn Majah is the one who takes from those people. The point is, Al-Bukhari would not take except from that first only. That's the first condition why Al-Bukhari's book is better than everybody else's book. The second reason, and the last reason, is because Al-Bukhari had a condition. And that condition was that it had to be established beyond a shadow of a doubt that two men met. Whereas Al-Imam Muslim said, if it's been established that they lived in the same era and they were in the same place, he would take that hadith. Al-Bukhari said, no. I have to have inconclusive evidence that they actually met. So right now in this room, there are people who are here right now, who see me right now, but I don't know them. We met, we were together, but I never gave them a hadith and they never gave me a hadith. So there's a possibility that this can happen. This was Bukhari's opinion. So in order to make sure that the hadith was authentic, he wouldn't accept this hadith, where Imam Muslim accepted it. So those are the two reasons why Al-Bukhari's book is better than everyone else's book. We're almost finished here now. This stuff is important. And this is why we said to the brothers, bring your notepad. Because if you want to know about the book, you can't sit and hear this type of information and retain it. Now we have a problem. We have a statement by one of the greatest imams of al-Islam. One of the imams that they say about him, مَا وَرِثَتْ امْرَأَةٌ بَعْدُهُ مِثْلُ. They say that women, a woman, no woman has given birth to a baby like this man since he was born. Since his mother gave him birth, ain't nobody came on the scene like him. That imam is al-imam al-Shafi'i. Al-imam al-Shafi'i said in the authentic statement attributed to him, مَا قَرَتُ كِتَابٍ أَصَحَّ مِنْ الْمَوَطَّى. He said, I have not read a book that is more authentic than the book of the Muwaffa of al-Imam Malik. Authentic statement. How can Imam Shafi'i say such a thing? How? When there's no doubt that al-Bukhari, his book is greater than al-Imam Shafi'i, al-Imam Malik's book. Abu Sufyan. How do we answer that? Because now what happens is the Muta'assib comes to you and says, the Muwatta is greater than Imam, the Muwatta is greater than Sahih Bukhari, the Maliki. So how do we answer that? Nah, as simple as that. We said that knowing the history was important. And Imam al-Shafi'i died 204. And Imam al-Bukhari was born 194. How old was Bukhari when al-Shafi'i died? 10. Memorizing the Quran with the little kids. He was with the little kids memorizing the Quran. He started to go get the knowledge when he was 18. So al-Imam al-Shafi'i was impossible for him to have read the Sahih al-Bukhari. So his statement is authentic based upon what he knew. Now this is a very important point, Ikhwan, because this is what Thaqaf has done. May Allah give him what he deserves. This is what Thaqaf has done, and people like Thaqaf do this all the time. And if you don't have knowledge of the deen, you'll get caught in the hole. The deviants bring an authentic statement like that. They bring an authentic statement. Al-Albani said that this hadith is authentic here, and then he says that it's not authentic over there. So the ignorant person doesn't know that this hadith comes over here with an authentic chain, and the same issue that's being discussed in the other hadith comes with a weak chain. So it's not the same hadith. The metan is the same. The statement, the words of Allah, of the Prophet are the same. But the isnad is not the same. Not the same. So the deviant, the muta'assib to his madhab, the Maliki guy, he comes and he says, look, al-Imam Malik, his book is the greatest book. Look what al-Imam Shafi'i said. It's an authentic statement. What do you want to say after that? We say, yeah, that's true. Based upon al-Imam Shafi'i's knowledge. But my argument, or my hujjah is, after al-Imam al-Bukhari presented his book, we have no doubt about the fact that Bukhari's book is greater than Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik's book. Rahimahumullah, Qulu Ameen. Now we have another problem. Some of the ulama said that al-Imam Muslim's book is better than Bukhari's book. Imam Muslim's book is better than Bukhari's book, right? Al-Hakim, al-Naysaburi, the one who wrote the Mustadrak. And some of the ulama from Maghrib, they said that Muslim's book is better. We say yes, we have to be fair. Muslim's book is better if what you mean is the hadith that they call mu'allaqat. The mu'allaqat are those hadith in which al-Bukhari does not bring the chain of narration. He just says, al-Imam al-Zuhri said that Abu Huraira said such and such and such a thing. Okay, where's the rest of the chain? One of the conditions for the hadith to be authentic is you have to have the chain of narration. This is a hadith that's mu'allaq. And these hadiths in Sahih al-Bukhari are two types. We're not going to deal with that. And it's important because the people criticize al-Bukhari by saying, look, he got da'if hadith in his book. This mu'allaq is da'if, like the hadith of music. Verily there will come a people from my ummah who will make harir, silk halal, and drinking whiskey halal, and music halal. The person who doesn't have any beard, he's musbin. He only plays on Friday and Yomul Eid. When you go to his house, you say, Akhi, music is haram. He said, what's your deal? The hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Other hadith is mu'alliq. How do you know it's mu'alliq? They got their arguments ready, prepared. That's mu'alliq. So this is the hadith is mu'alliq. But why did Bukhari put it there? Because in other places in his book, or in other books, they have connected the chain and it's authentic. But the point is, those types of hadith in Sahih Muslim are few, whereas in Bukhari they are many. So if you mean that it's better in that sense, yes, sahih, sadaqta, that's true. And if you also meant that an Imam Muslim, he'll take a hadith, and that hadith may be talking about the hadith of Jibreel, like in the book of Iman, Kitab al-Iman, the first hadith that al-Imam Muslim brings is the hadith of Jibreel. And it has a lot of narrations and a lot of different ways the hadith comes. Muslim will take this hadith in every single narration, he'll put them one after another. As for al-Imam al-Bukhari doesn't do that. He'll put one narration here, the other narration somewhere else in the book, and the other narration somewhere else in the book, and another narration somewhere else in the book. So it seems that it doesn't have any cohesiveness in it. But the reason why he did that was because of his fiqh. He put the hadith in different places because he understood from the hadith different things and he wanted to prove different things. Which brings us to the last issue before we get into the book. And that is the statement of many of the ignorant ones, the foolish ones, who say al-Bukhari was a muhaddith and he wasn't a faqih. Whoever makes this statement is ajhal min dawab ahlihi. He's more ignorant than the animals of his family. Ignorant. He doesn't know anything about Islam. He has no knowledge. And when you hear people make statements, certain statements like Saqqab, when Saqqab begins to talk and he makes these statements, we know this Saqqab has harmed himself with that statement. He has not harmed the Imam, the mountain of the dunya, who make mistakes. كَنَافِهِ سَخْرَةٍ يَوْمًا لِيُوهِنَهَا فَلَمْ يُهِرْنُهَا وَأَوْهَرُ قَرْنَهُ وَائِلًا. And we always want you brothers to remember this line of poetry, because it's important and it's always going to come up. Like the ram who went to bang the big mountain. He wanted to bust the mountain up with his ram, with his horn. But he didn't bust the mountain, he only broke his horn. So we say to him, La tashfaq ala jabal, ishfaq ala rock. Don't have mercy upon the mountain, have mercy upon your head. This is a saqqah. So when a person makes this statement, we say he's ignorant. Now what we want to do is show you, what do we do when we have issues like this? A person says, al-Imam al-Bukhari is a muhaddith and not a faqih. What's the weight of Abu Usama's statement? Nothing. Just like the weight of Saqqab's statement is nothing. We have to go to the ulama of Islam to find out what they said about the man. Because their statements are the statements that count. And here, we have some statements of the ulama. You don't have to write them. Abu Ishaq al-Sumari, a well-known scholar, said, من أراد أن ينظر إلى فقيه بحقه وصدقه فلينظر إلى محمد بن إسماعيل. Whoever wants to look at a true faqih, بحقه, the real faqih, وصدقه, the real truthful faqih, then let him look at Muhammad ibn Ismail. Al-Imam Nu'aym ibn Hammad, great scholar of Islam, said, Muhammad Ismail faqih هذه الأمة. When he was asked, what do you think about Muhammad Ismail? He said, he is the faqih of this ummah. Ali al-Madini, Al-Bukhari said about Ali al-Madini, مَا اسْتَصْغَرْتُ نَفْسِي عِنْدَ أَهَدٍ إِلَّا Ali Madini. He said, I have never looked at myself as being small with anyone except Ali Madini. Meaning when he sat with Imam Ahmed, he was the one who was given the knowledge. When he sat with Yahya ibn Ma'in, he was the one who was given the knowledge. As Abu Zar'a said, he said, I saw Ahmed and Ali Madini sitting with Imam Bukhari and they looked like two children with him. Al-Bukhari said about Ali Madini, I have never made myself small or saw myself less in degree than Ali ibn al-Madini. Ali ibn al-Madini said, هو أفقه من إسحاق. He has more fiqh, more understanding than Ishaq ibn Rahaway, who all of the ulama who have any sense know that he had a madhhab that was lost for a number of reasons. You can look to Bilal Phillips' book, he talked about him. He said he's afqah min Ishaq ibn Rahaway. And it's sad that you brothers don't know who Ishaq ibn Rahaway is. When you hear that name, it should register just like Abu Dawood and Imam Muslim and Bukhari. Wallahi. But English. And I say to you brothers again, as long as you don't know Arabic, you'll forever be locked out. You'll forever be locked out and dependent upon other people to translate for you or to explain for you. So we say to you, not only come to this class, but go to where people are teaching Arabic, even if it's Alif Ba Ta. Every journey begins with one step. Before you know it, before you know it, you'll be reading the Quran. And you never know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for you for tomorrow. Maybe He'll bless you with a woman from Saudi Arabia. You may marry her. You may marry an Arab woman. Help your tongue. Allahu alam. But the point is, try to learn Arabic so that you can deal with these books. Muhammad ibn Bashar said, هَذَا أَفْقَى خَلْقُ اللَّهِ فِي زَمَانِنَا. When he was asked about Al-Bukhari, he said, this is the most knowledgeable fiqh, as the most fiqh is our time. Abu Hatim al-Razi said, Muhammad Ismail, أَعْلَمْ مَنْ دَخَلَ الْإِرَاقِ. He's the most knowledgeable of the people who entered into Iraq. Abu Hatim was in Iraq. So when the people used to come to him, out of all the people who came, including Muslims, Imam Ahmed, Ali Madini, he said he was the most knowledgeable who entered Iraq. And lastly, Al-Imam Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani said about him in his book Taqrib al-Tahdeed, where he talks about the men who have narrations in the sixth book. He says, Muhammad ibn Ismail is the Imam of the Dunya wa Faqih al-Hadith. He's the Imam of the Dunya and the Faqih of the Hadith, the one who understands the Hadith. After that, Ikhwan, how much time do you have? Huh? 10 minutes. Should we take this first hadith? Or should we leave it for next week? Inshallah. Huh? Leave it for next week. Please. Inshallah. Even if there are any questions that the people have, I think we should read the hadith. Let's leave it for next week. No, I think we should read the hadith. We should read the hadith and then we're going to ask questions. Abu Sufyan is the first person. Turn your books to the first page, to the first hadith of the Kitab of the Revelation, Kitab al-Wahi, how the revelation began. The first chapter, how the revelation began. How the revelation began. Next week, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to need a person who has a strong voice and who can read very, very well. His reading has to be very, very well so that he can read the translation for us. Next week, inshallah, we have to get a reader for the dars. And what happens for the people who've gone to Medina and they've seen this, when you look at a Sheikh Al-Ghunayman, Abdul Muhsin Abbas, all of these people have a man or a student who's reading. And this is an honorable position. Wallahi, I'm not saying that I'm like al-ghuniman in that. Wallahi, I'm not saying that. But in terms of this darb, which is blessed, what the Prophet said, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشَّتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدُهُ. They are not a group of people who come together in one of the houses of Allah, the masjid. And they read the book of Allah and they study it. Except that the malaika come down, except that the sakina descends upon them, and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engulfs them, and the angels come down with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them with those who are with him, meaning the other angels. So now no doubt this is a blessed majlis. So we're going to need that person to read, and not to make any mistakes in his reading. And also he should read the text before coming here. Because you see where this hadith begins, he said the imam. We don't talk like that. He has to know that he has to correct that himself, so we can talk the way we understand. Where the Sheikh Muhsin Khan, Habibullah, made the English where it's not readable or understandable, the reader of the darb fixes it up and reads it in the way that we understand. We do not want "how far thou art thou." We don't want that type of language. He has some of that in this book. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kitab Badr al-Wahyi. Qala al-Imam al-Bukhari, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, Haddathana al-Humaydi, Abdullah ibn al-Zubayr, Qala, Haddathana al-Sufyan, and he's Sufyan ibn Uyayna. A lot of times you'll find in the narration of al-Bukhari that he just says Sufyan. And there are two famous Sufyans. Who are they? Sufyan al-Thawri and Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Whenever al-Bukhari just says Sufyan, most of the time it's Sufyan ibn Uyayna. But sometimes it's not. And there's some fiqh concerning that, and we'll deal with that later. He said, Haddathana Sufyan. قال حدثنا يحيى بن سعيد الأنصاري قال أخبرني محمد بن إبراهيم التيمي أنه سمع ألقم ابن وقاص الليثي يقول إني سمعت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وهو على منبر يقول إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته للدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. On the authority of Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said while he was on the minbar, verily I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever made hijrah for Allah and his messenger, he said, verily the deeds will be judged by their intention, and every person will get that which he intended. And whoever intended to make hijrah for Allah and his messenger, then his hijrah is for Allah and his messenger. And whoever intended to make hijrah for some woman to marry, or whoever intended to make hijrah for Allah and his messenger, his hijrah is for Allah and his messenger. Whoever made hijrah, what is it? Whoever immigrated, made hijrah for worldly benefit, or for a woman, he will get his hijrah is for that which he made hijrah for. What we'll do next week, inshallah, is we'll talk about who Umar ibn Khattab was very briefly when he died. That's all, very briefly, because he's well known. And where this hadith is found, because when the test time comes, we're going to ask you, who made the takhrij of this hadith? And we don't expect you to tell us the books that are difficult, you can hardly find them in the dunya. But if a hadith like this is muttafaq alayh, when the test comes, we expect it to say Bukhari and Muslim. Another important aspect of this hadith, or I would like to ask before next week, just so that we can see why we're studying this book. The chapter is called The Revelation and How It Began. Somebody please tell me, what is the connection with this chapter, the title of the chapter, and this hadith? He's talking about how revelation began. And after this hadith, he starts to bring the hadith of revelation. What's the connection between this hadith and the chapter? Why did he put it here? What's the connection? Put on your thinking kufi, ikhwan. Naam, akhi, tafaddal. But your intention, Abdullah al-Muslim, what does it have to do with the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The name of the book, the chapter, the bab, is Badul Wahyi, how the revelation began. The next hadith and the next hadith and the next hadith talk about him, Iqra, I can't read, Iqra, I can't read, Iqra, I can't read. The other hadith that he used to see in his dream and so forth and so on. It's talking about revelation. Abu Sufyan. That's one of the explanations of the ulama. But why? For the sisters? La. Why? He said that it takes the place. He said the reason why Al-Imam al-Bukhari put this hadith in this place is because he wants it to take the place of Khutbat al-Hajjah. Why? That's Jay Abu Sufyan, mashallah. That's one of the explanations. That's a talib al-ilm. Now, Ya Ikhwan, read the hadith. Naam, that's true, but that's not the reason why. Naam. Nah, even though that is the statement of Ali Madini, who said, when he talked about the virtues of this hadith, anyone who writes a book, on the beginning of each bab, he should put this hadith. Each chapter, this hadith should come. Fadab. What does it have to do with the beginning of the revelation? Abdullah. Anyone else want to try? Abu Ruqayya, barakallahu fi. The reason why is the connection to what Abu Sufyan said. Alqama Ibn Waqqas, the Tabi'i in the hadith said, I heard Umar say while he was on the minbar, I heard the Prophet say, verily the deeds will be judged by the intention. So Umar used it in the khutbah. So the ulama said if it was good enough for Umar to use it, then it's probably taking the place of khutbah al-hajjah. That's one reason. I don't see that as being the reason. Anyone else have another suggestion as to why the connection between this hadith and the name of the chapter? What it has to do with the intention? I tell you, it has nothing to do with the hadith. The metin of the hadith has nothing to do with why he put this hadith. The reason why Al-Bukhari put this hadith there, and Allah knows best, is when you look at the chain of narration, it would explain to you why. Al-Bukhari's sheikh in this hadith is Al-Humaydi, Abdullah ibn al-Zubayr, who was from Quraysh. Also his sheikh, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, was from Mecca, and Zubayr, the first sheikh,
Sheikh al-Bukhari was from Mecca,
from Quraysh. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, the last person in the hadith, was from Quraysh and from Mecca. So as if al-Imam al-Bukhari is opening up this book, because the Prophet said, قَدِّمُوا قُرَيْشًا, put Quraysh first, make them the leaders. So since the revelation came down to Quraysh in Mecca, he started the hadith with this chain of narration. Because the next hadith has people from Medina in it, al-Imam Malik and so forth and so on. And this is why we need somebody to sit to explain to you about Sahih Bukhari. Now we're going to take the questions, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, and we're going to have a quiz next week at the beginning of the class. So I see a lot of shaved heads shining in the light, sitting up straight. Next week, we don't want them down here like this. Fadda Abu Sufyan. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi rahimahullah ta'ala said, the question is a very good question, a question of a talib al-ilm. He said that you said Al-Imam Ahmed was a student of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. I thought it was the other way around. Al-Bukhari was a student of Imam Ahmed. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi said in a famous statement of his that we need to take so that we can get this jealousy out of our heart towards people. He said, لَا يَكُونَ الرَّجُ إِمَامًا يُقْتَدِي بِهِ لَا يَكُونَ الرَّجُ إِمَامًا يُقْتَدَى بِهِ حَتَّى يَأْخُذَ مَنْ فَوْقَهُ وَمَنْ مِثْلُهُ وَمَنْ دُونُهُ. A man will not be an imam who can be followed and your deen can be taken from him until he has taken his knowledge from the one who is above him, and the one who is like him in knowledge, and the one who is below him in knowledge. So Imam Bukhari and Imam Ahmed took from one another. And Imam al-Bukhari taught Imam Ahmed a lot about the ilm of the hadith. You remember when I told you about the statement of the Imam when he said, I saw Imam Ahmed and Abu Hatim, Abu Zar'a, sitting with Bukhari like two little children. This statement shows us, and it's authentic. You see Sir Alam al-Nubala to al-Imam al-Zahabi, authentic chain of narrations up to that statement, that shows us that al-Imam Ahmed sat with him, took from him the ilm of the hadith. As for a narration that al-Bukhari has on Imam Ahmed in his book, فلا. Al-Imam Bukhari does not say in his book, حدثني أحمد بن حنبل. But you find in the book Wasail Ahmed by Ibn Hani. Al-Imam Ahmed had a student by the name of Ibn Hani. He has a famous book called Wasail Masail Al-Imam Ahmed. Just like Abu Dawood, the one who wrote the book of Hadith, he also has a book called Masail Al-Imam Ahmed, in which he asks him a lot of questions. What do you say about this al-Imam? What do you say about that Imam? What's your opinion about this? What's your... Ibn Hani, in many of places in this book, used to ask al-Imam Ahmed questions, and he would say, Muhammad ibn Ismail said such and such and such a thing. I heard from Muhammad Ismail tell me such and such a thing. And I disagree with Muhammad ibn Ismail in this issue, so forth and so on. So they took from one another. Naam, any more questions? Naam. Al-Waqidi. Al-Waqidi is da'if. Another very important thing about Al-Imam Al-Waqidi and about Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Al-Imam Al-Waqidi is very, very famous. He's like Ibn Ishaq. He wrote also about the Maghazi and the war. But he's da'if in hadith. Concerning this statement, da'if, check out the Salafiyya of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. He said, منذ أن أقلت أن الغيبة حرام ما اختبت أحدا. He said, ever since I knew that ghiba was haram, I never made ghiba about anybody. This is a very important issue. How could that be when Al-Imam Al-Ahmed, Imam Al-Bukhari, was a person who had to talk about men? Say this is weak, he's weak, he's this, he's that. Some of the ulama of hadith used to say, Ta'al linakhtab an-nas sa'atan. Come, let us bite the flesh of the people. Meaning, come sit with me and let's talk about the men of hadith. So this man would say, oh, so-and-so is a kazzab. So-and-so is da'if. So-and-so is mudallis. So-and-so is this, so-and-so is that. So it's not ghibah. Because we have too many examples from the sunnah where the Prophet ﷺ said about people saying, Fatima bint Qays, Abu Jahm, Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan wanted to marry her. The Prophet ﷺ said, as for Abu Sufyan, for whom sa'lu, no money, ain't got no money. And as for Abu Jahm, la yada'a asahu min atiqihi, he doesn't put his thing off his shoulder. Because al-ghiba is not ghiba in six things. Al-ghiba is not considered to be ghiba in six situations. The first thing is that a person who wants to make the tarif, if you want to tell about someone and there's a brother who limps and you're trying to explain who he is, so you call him Crip, or you call him an Aswad, or an A'war, one eye, or Bakti, or Big Head. This is not ghibah if you don't mean to take him down, and if you say it to other people. But if he dislikes it, you shouldn't say it. But a ta'rif is Arabic word, a ta'rif, when you want to let somebody know. That's why we have Al-A'mush, Al-Ahwal. We have a lot of ulama whose names are like this. Al-Aswad. It's not ghibah when you are trying to get oppression off of you. Someone took your money, you go to the qadi and you say, he stole my money. The one who stole your money, the thief, can't say, oh, you made ghibah of me. You told the qadi something I didn't like you to say in my absence. The third thing is when you want a fatwa. The brother goes to the sheikh and he says, oh sheikh, what can I do if my wife such and such and such a thing? She doesn't clean the house properly and it just makes my heart dislike her. She doesn't like anyone hearing that. So when you want a fatwa. The fourth thing is when you're trying to get help to get rid of a munkar. So over there a Muslim brother got beat up and I come by another Muslim brother. And I come here and I say, oh, Ikhwan, brother so-and-so beat so-and-so up. Let's go order with that which is right and prevent that which is evil. The brother who did the beating up can't say, Abu Usama, you went and you told him something I didn't want them to know. How many is that? Oh, when you're warning against someone, you're saying, ah, so-and-so used to be on the Tariqat al-Salafiyah, but now he's Maturidi. He went to Birmingham, and he went astray. When you go to Birmingham, stay away from him. Stay away from him. It's not ghibah to warn someone of someone else. Nah, sister, as your wali, you shouldn't marry that brother, because that brother did such and such and such a thing. That brother, we know this about him. You shouldn't go in business with that brother because he steals your money. That's five, huh? One more. One more. I forgot the poetry. We'll think about that one more and we'll bring it next week. But the point that we wanted to make, and we're going to end with this point and one more point, inshallah ta'ala, and that is, Al-Imam al-Bukhari was a man who had to give rulings on people. He had to say, this person was weak. You will never find Imam al-Bukhari like, you know, Ibn Hibban. The people say Ibn Hibban was from the Mutasahirin. He was from the easy people. Nah, Ibn Hibban was from the Mutashaddidin. When he used to talk about people, he used to say, so-and-so don't know what's coming out of his mouth.
So-and-so is haram to take a hadith from him. So-and-so is a Dajjal from the Dajjajila. This is how Ibn Hibban used to talk about people. Al-Bukhari, la. Al-Bukhari used to say, the worst thing he used to say was, fihi nazar. If Al-Bukhari says about a person, fihi nazar, you know he's bad. And fihi nazar only means, in his situation is something. That's the worst he would say about somebody. He wouldn't say, because he knew, he didn't want to make ghibah of people. Even though he was in a situation where he could have said so-and-so is a kadab, is a wadda', is a shaytan, is a jinn. You find these types of descriptions being given by the ulama of Islam. Why? Because he was the imam of the Salaf, Ikhwan. He was one of the imam. So we have this problem of ghibah amongst ourselves. And the worst thing about it is, all of us are on a dawah to Salafiyah. Why you look at your brother as an enemy to you? You may leave up your brother who's on the same dawah. There's a problem, go to the brother yourself. Don't go to someone else. Go to the brother yourself and talk to the brother. But to change people's opinions and to lie, I will be not. The last point that we want to make about this book, about this hadith is, this first hadith is hadith al-ahad. It's a hadith al-ahad, another treasure. Hadith al-ahad. You won't find another sahaba narrating this hadith other than Umar ibn al-Khattab. After the man in the chain of narration whose name is Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, up until that point, there's only one person. Al-Qama is the only tabi'i who took this hadith. Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi is the only atba' tabi'i. And then, Yahya ibn Sa'id, many people took it from him. 250 people, it goes out, it spreads out. So it's hadith al-ahad. Why did al-Bukhari put this hadith here first? Because he started his hadith, his book with hadith al-ahad, and he ended his book with hadith al-ahad. To show the people, al-hadith al-ahad is an argument in al-Islam. He started it with it, and he ended his book with it. To show the people, hey, this is from al-Islam. How are you going to reject this thing? So, who's going to say the dua of the majlis, inshallah? Who's going to say it today? Who's going to say the dua of the majlis so we can finish here?